Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show. And coming up, Reginald Walker will join us from New York. Then we'll go to Ann Arbor and talk with John Bacon in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots and lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and not every day. Six great flavors of slushies. The Pickle Bar, led by the two personal favorites here, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. Look, it's a big weekend. Of course, we got high school football coming up tonight. Then tomorrow, Penn State, Michigan, Alabama, Tennessee, Sunday, Eagles against the Cowboys, Phillies playoff baseball in Philadelphia with the Braves, tied at a game apiece. You need to stock up now. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department that backs all of it up. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Just a few moments, we're going to go to New York. We will talk with our friend Reginald Walker. Usually we talk a lot with Reginald about football, the nuts and bolts, playing here at Penn State, but he is at a very interesting media conference in New York with John Oran, Sports Business Journal, and talking about, in part, streaming and the future of streaming, especially when it comes to not just pro sports, but college sports. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Actually, we go back to Wednesday night at Dodger Stadium, bottom of the eighth inning. The fans entertained in shallow right field by a goose that is on the field as they play on.
We thought we saw everything in the game, and now a new friend wants to join our party. Hello, friend.
Do we go? Can Bango get it?
Sounds like I don't want to necessarily bother our feathered friend here. Ducks are very aggressive. I don't know. They're very aggressive. And we're going to keep on playing. It's a 1-1.
The Dodgers come back and win this. They're going to have
the rally duck, rally foul.
The crowd was going crazy when they showed him on the big screen. Look at that.
That is not a small mallard either.
No, it is not. It was rather large goose on the field in the bottom of the eighth inning. Of course, as we all know by now, the Dodgers did not come back. They're in San Diego tonight at Petco, tied at a game apiece. But yeah, the goose was on the field, right? In shallow right field, they kept playing. The fans wanted them to stop the game and get the goose off the field. Eventually, the goose left. And the Padres did win the game 5-3. Big night, by the way, on Wednesday night for Manny Machado. He came through big for the Padres. That series tied at one apiece, back to San Diego. Of course, Phillies and Braves in Philadelphia tied at a game apiece as well. All right. So let's go to New York now and join our friend Reginald Walker. Reginald, first, welcome. Great to have you with us, and tell us why you're in New York.
Stevie Jones.
How are you, my man?
I'm doing great. So why are you in New York?
The CAA World Congress of Sports, presented by Sports Business Journal. That's my full-time job, if people don't know. Just wrapped up yesterday and today. here in New York. Really, really good information about everything in the business right now, whether it's what's creating disruptions, ticket sales, everything and anything imaginable that people are talking about as to where the industry is going. It was discussed here over the last essentially day and a half to 2 days.
That includes, obviously, TV, and that includes, obviously, streaming along the way. We know the NFL is in with Prime Video, Thursday Night Football for 11 years. There's been a lot of talk about college football and either Apple or Prime Video. What was the conversation there?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. College football continues to be a topic of discussion in terms of where it's going to go and who's going to land it. One of the more interesting conversations I was able to ascertain on it was as the Marchand and Aran podcast was being put together, they discussed the best avenues for college football and where it might go. And one of the interesting things, I won't tell everybody all the answers, but one of the interesting pieces of that conversation, Andrew Marchand asked the question, what's better to be seen on, you know, maybe some of the networks that we know of, or to go to it via your phone, and how would those athletes react to that from a streaming platform standpoint and some of the fans? So that was an interesting conversation. I think the Big Ten obviously fired sort of a salvo, if you will, by jettisoning with respect, I say that, some of the streaming platforms that were looking to maybe get involved and sticking with your traditional linear broadcast networks.
Yeah, it was interesting because Peacock will do some Big Ten basketball. I think they're doing some football too, I think. So Peacock's getting involved there.
Yes.
With that, the Pac-10, I refer to them as the Pac-10 because, I mean, that's what they're negotiating with right now. They feel like Prime or Apple is like their financial bailout. I mean, I don't know if that was discussed at all.
Well, I think that is obviously a piece of it, because when you look at it, look at the amount of money that the Big Ten took out of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. The Big Ten and the deal, which really equates to multiple deals across multiple networks, took a bunch of money out of the potential pot for everybody else. So to that point, yeah, the Pac-12, yes, they have to take everybody seriously if they are focused on matching the money. If they are focused on other things, which we know the Pac-12, Pac-10, whatever you want to call them, it used to be the Pac-8 when it was originally
constructed. I know, I remember, yes.
I went there.
Yep.
They've got to decide what's more important to them, that visibility and exposure, or the financial gain on the backside. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch.
See, I want to point this out about Andrew Marchand and about John Oram. Andrew with the New York Post and John with Sports Business Journal. George Kliavkov, who's the commissioner of the Pac-12, says, every time we see these reports, we laugh. Like, I don't know what you're laughing about, George, because John and Andrew have no skin in the game. Right, they're just trying to mine their sources and put stories out. They don't have, you know, there's no agenda on their part. They're just reporting what they know from people they know within the industry. And George, it's no laughing matter. When they say you're hundreds of millions apart, you probably are hundreds of millions apart.
I agree with that. And I think what's interesting is listening to some of the comments that we've heard from some of these commissioners over the last few months, right? In terms of, we're not looking to go shopping, right? We heard that one, and we heard we're fine, and we've heard, well, we're going to expand west and all these different things. They're saying everything they can to make it sound good. The reality is they're both drowning, right? Now, the difference is Kliavkov is a little bit deeper in terms of how long he's been with the Pac-12.
Yeah.
But Brett Yormark is all he did was leave Brooklyn and jump in a deep pool and didn't know how deep that pool was until he got there.
Yeah. See, and that's what I found. Kevin Warren was interviewed by Scott Docterman of The Athletic yesterday. And when you combine the interview Scott did with him along with the press conference, the gung-ho approach of July at Football Media Days was more measured yesterday.
Absolutely. Well, I'll take it to the field indirectly for a second. Remember how gung-ho Jimbo Fisher was in July?
Oh, yeah.
How gung-ho is Jimbo Fisher in early October? It ain't the same.
He's scrambling. Kevin's not scrambling. Kevin's in a position. Kevin Warren is in a position of power. I mean,
that's exactly right.
Right. So I mean, he's sitting in a power chair. That's why I find it interesting that sitting in the power chair in 2 months, he decided to become a more measured in that power chair. I think because they see the challenges of, look, let's get all our ducks in a row first. Let's get the networks in here. Let's get the integration done with USC and UCLA. Let's not bite off more than we can chew, seemed to be the attitude I sensed from the interview.
Well, that's number one. And I think what Kevin Warren has done better than most, and maybe this was a little bit of the Jim Delaney as well, even before. They do things, they make a great move, and then they settle and let the dust settle as everybody tries to catch up. They are at the next move. And I think that's what Kevin Warren's doing right now. He's letting all the dust settle and plotting his next move before anybody can realize he's plotting another move.
Sorry, John Bacon sent me an email I needed. And he threw a line in at the end. You could drop my name. You'll either get a free dessert or a punch in the nose. Hey, bye week, okay? So Penn State goes bye week. Then they got Michigan. How important were bye weeks, for you guys back in the day to take advantage of it, and why? Or why not?
I think bye weeks can be, obviously, if you come off a bye week and win, everybody says you did everything you were supposed to do on the bye week. If you come off a bye week and lose, everybody says it took away your rhythm. At the end of the day, to me, the most important two things you can do in a bye week is allow your players to get healthy, and as a coaching staff, you self-scout. Right. And what I mean by self-scouting is look at yourself, find your own tendencies, figure out what it is that you're struggling with at times, and once that happens, then you can make sure that as you game plan for the following weeks after the bye, that your game plan includes some tendency breakers, which generally should and would help you create some big plays offensively and maybe create some turnovers for you on the defensive side of the ball.
Michigan's a team that's played six games. It hasn't been the greatest schedule, but they have made, you feel like they've made no more than a handful of mistakes in the six games combined. I mean, that part is impressive to me. No matter who you're playing, when you keep your mistakes to a minimum, when you've watched Michigan, have you felt the same way?
Absolutely. They don't make mistakes. They don't. What they have become is a team that says, you're going to have to beat us. We are not going to beat ourselves. They don't commit bad penalties for the most part. They don't give the football away, right? And those are two key elements. And then the other thing I like about that football team is, and this is a Jim Harbaugh personality trait, they run the football. It's not all about throwing the ball 65, 70 times, right? They run the football to set up play action passes to push the ball down the field. Now, I wonder what the impact, and I say nothing but prayers and hope for positivity for Mike Hart and everything that he
yes,
went through.
Yes, absolutely.
But how, his absence from the team, at least at this point considered temporary, we don't know how long it's going to take before he comes back. It is going to be very, very important to see how his impact of not being there impacts this offense. But otherwise, I think this Michigan football team, they're built the right way. They're built from the inside out, the offensive and defensive lines are solid to better than solid, and they take care of the football on both sides.
Fred Jackson will be the one that will be the running back coach. Now, whether Mike is there or not on Saturday, I don't know, but Fred Jackson has been the running back coach this week there. Your thoughts on Penn State going into this?
I think the key for Penn State, don't allow any big plays against Michigan. You got to keep everything in front of you. This defense, though they've been playing well, I finally looked at the numbers officially. I thought they were a little bit higher in the country. I think they're somewhere around, I want to say they're 40th in the country, maybe 38th in total defense. You'd like to see that be a little bit improved based on the schedule they played, but going to Auburn and playing Purdue to start the season are tough games. Obviously, one an SEC opponent, one a conference game. But you look at this Penn State team, I think they've got to get more out of the pass rush. They've got to find a way to make Michigan play sped up. They got to win first down if they want to play, if they want to beat Michigan. If you can win first down and get Michigan behind the chains and force them to be one-dimensional and predictable on offense, I think you got a chance to win that game.
Sir, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. And great talk, by the way, on what's going on. With what did you learn, by the way, over the last couple of days that maybe you either sort of knew or didn't know before?
I learned that Amazon Prime is probably not done acquiring things. That's number one.
Yep.
And number two, they're about to bring Marshawn Lynch out.
Wow.
There you go.
How about that?
And you have to give credit on that to the Marshawn and Arand podcast with John Arand and Andrew Marshawn. And I also add that because John Arand may or may not be sitting directly across from me as I eat lunch here in New York City.
Hello, John. John's been on the show before. We've had John before on the show. Because, I mean, it's interesting because that podcast, if you're in the media, you have to subscribe to it. I mean,
I completely agree.
You have to subscribe to that because, like I said, these guys just do – they just do solid reporting with great sources. They have no skin in any game. They have no agenda except telling you what's going on.
Completely agree.
So give our best to everybody there. Appreciate it. We'll get you back at your normal spot next week. And enjoy New York. You know, hopefully you're there with an expense account.
Absolutely. I definitely am, so that's the best part.
Oh, good. Then I have a list of places you need to go.
Let me know.
All right. Thanks, Reginald.
Take care, Steve.
See you.
Thank you.
Reginald Walker joining us in New York. Now, he'll be back in Charlotte next week to join us on the show. But let's follow up on that for a moment. Prime Video, which has been obviously through a ton of money into the Thursday Night Football package with the NFL. That's their big foray into sports. The production is outstanding. Now, again, if you watch it on over-the-air TV, the sound is great on over-the-air. I had a good friend of mine, Greg, email me about, because I was saying, geez, I mean, the crowd's a little low when I'm listening to it. I mean, kind of wish there was more crowd. And Greg told me when he watched the Steelers-Browns game in Pittsburgh, and see, in local markets, you're allowed to put it on one over-the-air TV station. He said the sound was phenomenal. But then he said when he then watched the game, last week's game on streaming, that dreadful Colts-Broncos game a week ago, he said the same thing, the same experience I had. The sound was low. He says because streaming, the calibration of it is different than over-the-air. So, but other than that, the announcing has been great. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, Kaylee Hartung. The camera work has been great. 29 cameras, four more than Sunday Night Football, uses two overheads. The production's been outstanding. So now, if you're Prime Video, you're looking around saying, what else can we get into? We do know they had an interest in the Big Ten at one point. The Big Ten decided to go with Fox, CBS, NBC, and a streaming component of Peacock. To go with BTN and so forth. All right. But Amazon made a bid, as did Apple, and at least they showed interest. Now there's been a lot of talk that the Pac-10, the saving grace could be, for example, Amazon coming in, riding on the white horse with money to help bail them out because they're not going to get the deals they're hoping for from ESPN and Fox because that 30-day open negotiating period came and went. Because it came and went, they know that they're going to need the streaming outlet more than ever. So that's why this conference he's at, they're talking about streaming and what it can mean. We know that people have cut cords, but they've cut cords to the point of instead of ESPN having, it was as high as 102 million homes subscribed. They're down to like 80 million. Something like that, 75 to 80 million. That's still 75 to 80 million that have ESPN. That's still over 100 million that have over-the-air Fox. That is still 75 to 80 million that have Fox Sports One. That's not a small number. But now how do you take care of the 20-plus million that have cut the cord? Well, that's where streaming comes in. And by the way, ESPN Plus's numbers have grown over time. So that's why you're looking at the streaming component, and with the NFL being the first to be involved in it, and the relative success they've had with it so far, it will give, for example, college conferences more confidence going in and getting a streaming component. All right, John Bacon, next hour, my old friend. We'll talk about Penn State, Michigan. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the week. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget tonight, 7 o'clock, Shikellamy and Bloomsburg. Kevin and Greg with the call tonight. Shikellamy and Bloomsburg play tonight at 7 on the air at 6:30. And don't forget, you can go to our YouTube channel and you can watch along with our great announce crew there. And same story with Sealands Grove. All right, they're on Eagle 107. Great announce crew there as well. You'll be able to see it on our YouTube channel as well. Lewisburg plays tomorrow night, and that will be on 100.9 The Valley. So we have a lot going on this week, including Penn State, Michigan tomorrow, which will be at noon. We're on at 10:30. From Ann Arbor, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. My old friend John Bacon coming up in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for this great fall sports weekend. Talked about the games tonight. The games tomorrow, Penn State, Michigan at noon, Tennessee, Alabama. Sunday, you've got the Cowboys and the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. You need to be fully stocked, ready to go. So go now. Stock up now to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Out to Ann Arbor we go. My old friend, good friend, dear friend, John Bacon, author, wrote the book Fourth and Long, which brilliantly chronicled the 2012 season of that Penn State football team that did all it could to save Penn State football and to set up games like tomorrow. John, welcome back, my dear friend. So great to have you with us.
I'm doing shockingly well out here in the cornfield, Michigan. Steve, always a pleasure, and I hope that your Penn State listeners know what a pro you are and your great reputation throughout the Big Ten. So how's that?
Well,
that's not bad to us. That's over beer as well. I'll say it to your face. So there you go.
John, you're too kind. Too kind, too good to me. All right, so let's start with this. As somebody who has chronicled Michigan for such a long time, Jim Harbaugh was asked about who J.J. McCarthy reminded him of. And he said, me. That's right. So as somebody who watched Jim Harbaugh, who, by the way, had a really good pro career, play at Michigan, and you see J.J. now, what are some of the similarities, but also at the same time, what are some of the contrasts?
I would say both are effective, if not fancy passers, but they don't throw interceptions. That was a bow rule and a paterno rule, certainly. You know that.
Yep.
And both are willing to leave the pocket when they have to. Now, J.J. is a better runner, frankly, than Jim Harbaugh was. But Jim is not afraid to leave the pocket and get the 5 or 10 they needed. So that part's all the same. Highly competitive, I would say that. Flip side is this. J.J. McCarthy has yet to play anybody, and in 2 days he will. So Jim had a – back then, of course, we know how it was in the old days. Michigan played 9 Big Ten teams, and somebody like Notre Dame and Navy maybe, or Notre Dame and Maryland, you know, serious teams. J.J. really hasn't faced anybody of note yet. So it's like kind of like two heavyweight – prize fighters here. They're both undefeated, both teams, of course, and yet we're about to find out how good either one of them is, and really, it's hard to tell. It's a very hard game to pick, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree that I felt the same way going into, when people asked me about when Penn State went to Auburn, they said, how good is Auburn? I said, I don't know. right? And
look, to find out.
Right, and everybody, you're going to find out, and Saturday at 4 o'clock, we'll have an answer. I know that. Blake Corum, who did not play in the Penn State game last year because he was banged up, what does he mean to what they want to do, not only rushing the football, but also in the passing game?
Steve, right now he is the offense. Now, J.J.'s had a good season, got good numbers, and so on. But without Blake Corum in these games, and he's, you know, scored 4 and 5 touchdowns in some of these games, some crazy numbers. If he was out, then it would all be on J.J. McCarthy's shoulders. Now, Donovan Warren, some other guys in the backfield are pretty good, too. So we'll see what happens there, of course. But the pressure on J.J. would be very, very different. And for a first-year starter, that has been a blessing for him, is having Blake Corum. And that's, of course, been the Penn State model throughout the time I've been watching you guys. He is often a very strong quarterback. Almost always, you'll get a strong quarterback with a very strong tailback, and that's what happens here.
Right, and that's what you're seeing this year, what it's meant to get Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen into the Penn State offense.
Exactly.
And how much the benefits have been there. What did last year do to reinvigorate the Michigan fan base?
It saved it, Steve.
Yeah.
It saved Harbaugh's job. I mean, look, there are no sacred cows in this world, and he comes back as Mr. Michigan, grew up here, of course, played here, and so on. And yet, I mean, if you did a vote, a straw vote of the fans in December of 2021, you'd probably, or 2020, the COVID year, you'd probably have a majority who would say, let him go.
Yeah.
And Athletic Director Ward Manuel did, I would suppose, the quote-unquote next best thing by giving him a do-or-die contract, basically, half the pay, essentially. So his back was truly against the wall. And what he did, people don't really talk about, he changed, swapped out 6 of his 10 assistant coaches. That's a pretty big boy bet. You live or die with that one. And the 6 he brought in were almost all younger guys, and that worked famously well, and they're still doing it today. But the whole Harbaugh era was on a razor's edge.
Yeah, it's interesting because you feel like, at least I've felt, it's almost like watching the Worcester to the Boston shuttle. I feel like I'm watching the Ravens to Michigan shuttle and vice versa. I mean, I know Minter had to make a stop, by the way. I think it was at Vanderbilt. Then he came in there. But still, that's what I felt. I felt like I'm watching like Toledo to Detroit. Detroit back to Toledo.
This is, it basically is. Of course, Jim and John Harbaugh, of course. Harbaugh, John is the Ravens coach. There must be 3 or 4 of the coaches. They've had 4 or 5, 5 or 6. Who have coached at both places, which is you know, how many coaches coach in the NFL and college in the first place,
yeah,
let alone these two schools. So genetics, Steve, may be a factor.
Yeah, it might be in this case. But you know what? I think it's interesting that it's given each the college and pro experience on a staff. And how much do you think that's benefited Michigan?
Quite a bit. And again, he had good coaches before, but there were 2-4 in the COVID year. In the modern era, it seems to me, if you get more than 4 or 5 years out of assistant coach, that's substantial. The idea of, you know, Paterno having the same assistants for 20 years, Bo had the same assistants for 20 years, a lot of them, yeah, not all of them. I don't know if that's going to happen again. So I think that the NFL experience is very valuable, yeah, to these guys. Furthermore, in recruiting, it's what the players want to hear.
Look, I know Schoonmaker's done a great job at tight end, coming off a big game in Indiana, but he's played well the entire time. But what is the getting Ronnie Bell meant, getting him back after he sat out almost all of last year?
He's a captain who got injured in the first game last season, then out for the entire year, which is, you know, a big guy for anybody, of course. Essential. In the same way that Michigan is not – there's no one receiver right now. There's no one tight end. That they need to mix it up, and for their offense to work. Of course, Penn State's challenge, it's going to be Michigan's challenge facing Penn State, is force the quarterback to limit his choices. But right now, Michigan's got a number tight end. It's an old school offense. Tight ends available, of course. So that's been clearly valuable for Michigan. But the idea of giving JJ other targets to go downfield with, what he's not done very much and very well, has gone long. And for a guy with a good arm, that's something that Penn State might challenge him to do. That has been an unexposed weakness so far, I would say.
Whenever you and I talk, we always talk about some of the big-ticket items. So I'm going to venture away from the game for a moment because, obviously, what has been your thought process about seeing USC and UCLA and that announcement made on June 30th? What did you think of it, and what do you think of it moving forward?
Utterly mixed, Steve, on the grand scale. First of all, from the fan point of view, what are we doing? It's crazy. Look, the Big Ten, I love it. But when Penn State joined the Big Ten, everyone loved that. That was uniformly well-received. I was out there in 93 working at the hockey camp years ago, and I wrote a big piece for the Associated Press,
yep,
on what Penn State's all about. And the reception, Steve, was 100% positive. Nebraska, I felt the same way. It's a good fit. It's contiguous and so on. Rutgers and Maryland, much less so, frankly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both good schools, no complaint there, but what are they adding to the Big Ten, hard
right
to say.
Agreed.
USC and UCLA, big names, but is it a conference? Is it a league? What is it exactly?
Right.
They at least did not try to claim, Steve, that it's for the good of the student-athletes or anything other than the TV bottom line, which is what it is. On the flip side, looking at the business side, look, they're going to join either the Big Ten or the SEC, and I guess it might as well be the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Certainly it jacks the money up, and that's good for everybody, obviously. And if the Big Ten is going to compete against the SEC, which is about the only two conferences left at that level, then they probably have to have them. So I guess necessary evil is where I stand. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. And remember what the title of John's book was, okay? The Soul of College Football.
Yeah, well.
All right? And that was 10 years ago. All right.
I know, man.
So,
doing it.
Exactly. Now, but I want to make one quick point, and that is you had so many long sit-downs with Bo. Everyone knows Bo, the only reason Bo was uneasy about Penn State was because he wasn't told about it. It wasn't about Penn State.
Right.
It had nothing to do with Penn State, zero. Bo actually really liked Penn State.
Oh, he loved Penn State. In fact, in his book that he and I wrote together, he spent a paragraph extolling the – very direct and straightforward uniforms. Those uniforms look right to me.
Yeah.
down to the black shoes, man. Nothing fancy there. He had immense respect for Joe Paterno. And Joe Paterno, by the way, was offered the job at Michigan before Bo was.
Yep.
A lot of folks don't know that.
Yep.
Loved Penn State. Had no problem with them being in the Big Ten. In fact, liked the idea. He's only upset about one thing, and that is the ADs made the decision, the presidents, really.
Presidents.
Before talking to any AD. Including Bo. So that was his problem, was the process, but not the results.
Right.
And he loved going to State College, and he went there often.
Oh, in fact, one of the great moments, just on a personal point of view, Bo comes in, and I'm watching Bo and Joe walk together on the practice field and stage. So walking, like they're walking toward Aluba Hall, and I'm thinking to myself, this is kind of cool to stand here and look at that.
Absolutely. Two of the legends, two of the Titans. Boyd, very positive feelings about Toronto, of course, and Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what people need to understand. It's the process of it that he was not enamored with, not who it was going to be.
You got that exactly right.
Yep. So, and I always have wanted to make that clear to everybody when they hear about, well, Michigan was getting, no, it was how it was done, not who it was. Which then brings us to, obviously, it was interesting listening to the commissioner on Tuesday in Minneapolis. After being rather gung-ho, I thought, in July at Football Media Days in Indianapolis, he was rather measured about going beyond 16. And then he said to Mike DeCourcy in his interview, and I just want to get the quote correct. He says that when he sits there and he looks at it, he says it could be a year, could be 5 years, could be seven. He says, but it's the landscape of the way it. How do you look at how he has been handling this up front, and how interested were you by how measured he was on Tuesday as opposed to last July?
I think it's probably maturing in the role, if you will, because he really had, you know, obviously a smart guy, NFL guy, and so on, but that's a big boy job right there. I recall Devin Gardner, whom Penn State beat up more than once, you know, quarterback saying, and it certainly applies to Happy Valley, that you have no idea how big that stage is until you're on it, and then it's too late.
Yeah.
And I think that you have no idea how big that stage is until you're on it, and I think he's learned that, you know, like a president of the United States, everything you say is parsed. Everything you say is broken down, and you know it all comes with complications. In this particular case, obviously adding USC and UCLA changes the whole dynamic of the Big Ten. It's now going to be 16 teams. Divisions might go away, which, frankly, with Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State in the same division, maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
But also the other question is how many slices of the pie do you want to cut up? That anybody you add. You don't just add them to add them because then you just divide it again. So it needs to be a Notre Dame or somebody of that ilk, not just two more Pac-12 teams, I think. So I think he's kind of learned just how big this job is and just how complicated things get.
And it's almost like...
Like some Twitter followers I can name, by the way. That's and in case your listeners are following, all I can say is, mea culpa, something sounded a lot funnier over a phone call with a buddy than sound on Twitter. So, hey, what's all you got to do?
I know.
I bet they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I know. It is believe me, I'm sure they do. It's almost like, I mean, that's the exact quote I've had to have people over and over again. You don't look at Ward Manuel, Pat Kraft, and Gene Smith and say, hey, look, we're going to dilute the number you're going to get because we're going to add people. You don't do that. They're going to look at you and go, I don't think so.
That's right. And I mean, and give the Big Ten a compliment here, and Kevin Warren. Once you've added USC and UCLA, and Texas and Oklahoma are already at SEC, you know what's left.
I mean, exactly.
Honestly, Notre Dame, but the Blue Bloods are all pretty much called for. That includes obviously Penn State. So I mean, Penn State, Nebraska. Nebraska's not worked out from a competitive point of view as well as expected, but that's undeniably a Blue Blood. Who's left?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess Washington and Oregon, but you're starting to slice that pie up again.
Yeah, you're starting to slice the pie up, but again, there's only so many Grand Slams out there. Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, USC. Those are, to me, are primary brands. Then you get to the secondary brands, and to me, Washington and Oregon are really good secondary brands. But then so's Nebraska, so's Wisconsin. So, I mean, you already got that. So that's why when I look at it, to me, John, it's about management. I mean, when you sit there, what are you going to do with your women's soccer team? How are you going to integrate men's soccer, right, to go with this and traveling everybody? Do you block schedule and send them all out together, right, to then do a weekend and then they do a weekend coming here? These are the complications of the management of it where, hey, let's just go to 20. Well, now it complicates it even more.
That's exactly right, Steve, as usual. And I think, honestly, when you get down to, I mean, Big Ten, unlike the SEC averages 17 or 18 sports per school. Penn State,
good point.
Michigan State, Ohio State, man, they got, 30 or so.
Yep.
And, one of the great stories, I think, of Penn State athletics has been their great performance in volleyball and other sports you wouldn't think of necessarily, wrestling certainly, that don't get the attention of football and basketball. But you know what? They take their sports very seriously. You guys can pack the place for some of those sports. Well, the volleyball team, the wrestling team is going to go to out west. A lot of complications there that you don't think of at the time that go far beyond football and basketball.
So I always love talking to this guy. Part of this is I can't wait to see you on Saturday. So I'm really looking forward to it, John. Thanks so much for taking the time to do it. We're going to I don't care. Penn State and Michigan, this will be okay. They'll play this weekend. We're going to get you back on the show and talk about some big picture stuff in about a month or so. How about that?
Love to anytime. And by the way, all my Twitter friends, hello, and I swear to God, nothing but love for Penn State. And Steve, you know that.
Right? I know, absolutely. And I talked to Mike Motti. I saw Mike about a month ago, right? Talks glowingly about you, as always, like we all do. John.
When your fans see the movie, which is finally going to come out, I think, Saving the Roar, this guy gets a little choked up talking about those guys, because what those guys did in 2012, I and you and the Penn Staters will never forget. One of the great stories of college sports, period.
And John is, you're great in it. I mean, really, fabulous. So, makes a big difference.
Thanks for that. But Steve, you're a pro in it, unlike me.
Oh, yeah, right. John, can't wait to see you on Saturday. And we'll talk then, and then we'll get you back on here in about a month or so and just talk about big picture stuff again.
Sounds great. Anytime.
My good friend John Bacon, looking forward to seeing him tomorrow in Ann Arbor. And that's where we'll be tomorrow. Penn State and Michigan in Ann Arbor. Kickoff set for noon on beginning at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget about high school football tonight. Shikellamy and Bloomsburg, Kevin and Greg tonight on News Radio 1070 WKOK and our YouTube channel. And also Shikellamy, Sealands Grove on Eagle 107 tonight, also on our YouTube channel with our great announcers there as well. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up right now for the big sports weekend. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Have a great weekend, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow from Ann Arbor on News Radio 1070 WKOK.